It's very entertaining. I may not be around for the next go around, so I might throw my 73 out now if I'm not here, because I'm already running late as it is. But I just want to say good morning, and everybody have a good weekend. And with that, I'll throw it back to W2BOB and the rest of the net. This is KD2BOQ.
Thank you, Rob. Great. I'm glad you made it. And thank you for listening. And very nice remarks, and we appreciate that very much. And have a great day. And it was good to hear you with us, and glad you checked in. So that's KD2BOQ, Rob, in Dobbs Ferry, and he has to go to work, so we'll be losing three of our members here. So. But anyway, it's very good, and your signal is quite strong, and your voice sounds terrific, so that's really great. Okay. This is W2BOV, and at this point, let me just take a short pause and see if there's anyone else that wishes to join the net at this point. Come now, please. Okay, nothing heard. Tony, I'm going to revise my instruction for you. You turn it back to me after your next transmission, okay? So that way it'll stay in order, and everything will flow smoothly, and I'll be very happy. So there you go. All right, we've been watching the Tour de France on NBC Sports Network on cable. The commentary, well, the commentary is typically British because the two commentators that are announcing the race, the play-by-play, if you will, are Brits, and very well educated as far as bicycle racing is concerned, and of course, being that they're native Europeans, they're very familiar with the country of France and surrounding countries as well. So, what it boils down to, this year we noticed it's not as much of an interesting travelogue as it had been in past years. But they do mention sites that appear on screen, not only of the bike racers, but the surrounding areas, and rivers, canals, roadways, railroads, railroad tracks, some with trains running on them, and most importantly, historical architecture, such as castles and chateaus, one of which yesterday was originally constructed in the year 1010. And today it has been modernized and is no longer a private chateau, but consists of several apartments. And in the country, on a lot of acreage, with an in-ground swimming pool. And from the air, it looked terrific. It really did. Cathedrals that were built back in the 14th century. It's really amazing. And the architecture is so beautiful over there. So I've never been to France. We have been to England a number of times, and it's the same, but this is a little bit more elaborate. The other thing that I noticed and saw a lot of were, number one, the spectators are all along both sides of the roadway while the race progresses. They go 50 or 60 miles, and it's almost constant audience on both sides. And they're all carrying national flags, waving them and cheering the bikers on and everything else. Well, one of the flags that we saw most often, we did see the American flag and the British flag and the Australian flag and a lot of other countries that you can recognize, but the one that we started to see most often as the race progressed through mainland France was what looked like the Stars and Stripes. There were stripes. There were images that looked like stars in the same configuration as our flag, but they were all black on a white background. And they got a good close-up one day of it, and the what I thought was stars from a distance turned out to be coats of arms of the Department of Brittany, in other words, the county or province of Brittany. That is their traditional flag for that particular department, as they call it over there. So a lot of people from Brittany on the sidelines, that's for sure. So, and the villages they go through, yesterday they went through Bourgeau, which is an ancient village. And I think there was a war there between the Scotch and the French armies way back when. And all sorts of marauders and everything else that they fought off. And very interesting, the history of that whole area is quite interesting. But the other thing that really established the fact that the race was very important were the displays in the farm fields where they had, it was the 100th running of the Tour de France this year. So many of the displays were set up with hay bales that spelled out 100, and then underneath that, Tour de France. And many of them had hay bales set up in two circles and connected by, looked like farm implements in the form of a bicycle, and each wheel had about a half a dozen people holding hands and walking around as though the wheels were turning, and they did it in unison. Of course, you could only see this from the air, the benefit of the helicopters, but that was really fascinating. So they go to great extremes, and they love the race, obviously. There you go. There's a little recap of watching the Tour de France on NBC. And it's very well, good production. And I like the idea of the cameraman on the back of the motorcycle with a wireless camera and the antenna system on the back of the motorcycle that's beaming the signal up to the helicopter, who then retransmits it to a ground station somewhere in the area. So, good high-definition quality. All right, back to the top. KC2ZUM, and I know Alan has to leave soon, so pick it up, Alan. W2BOV here. KC2ZUM, you still with us?
Yes, sir. KC2ZUM, KC2ZUM on the doctor. Got to jump out of here and make this appointment, and I hope everybody has a very good weekend and join the group next week. I've got to make this appointment, so sorry for the delay there. 7-3, and good one to everybody there. And let me see, who am I throwing it over to here? Paul. KC2T, this is KC2ZUM, 7-3, everyone.
KC2ZUM and group AC2T. Fine business, Alan. Good luck at the doctor. Hope everything comes out okay, and we'll hope to see you on Monday. Have a nice weekend, and enjoy. Other than that, it looks great over here. At least the humidity has gone down, and it's not as humid as it was. But they're still there, and I guess next week we're going to go back into the hot stuff again for a couple of days or a few days, as they say. So let's hope that all doesn't appear the way they say. Anyway, over to you, Josephine, KA2ZUM, AC2T.
Yeah, all right, Paul, AC2T, WA2ZNT. You're getting me mixed up with Alan, but that's all right. Anyhow, I guess sometimes it's just correct to say our own call when it's turned to us. That's within the rules, too. Anyway, 73 to Alan, and I turn it to John in just a moment. I wanted to say, Tony, I remember Amelia Earhart's flight in 1937. We had the radio on, and I don't know why I felt a premonition as she was supposed to approach the island where she was to refuel, and it didn't happen. Why I had a premonition, even as a child, that something might happen, but not wishing it, but just was afraid, you know, because everything had gone well up to that point. And then I heard, of course, on cable, they did her life and her flight over with actors, and it was pretty accurate. But I remember that time, too, and I'm glad they found some trace of the wreckage. And if it's true, I guess it must be. But it brings back memories, and I could see why you admired her, yes. She was deserving of being admired, and I thought of, you know, the same thing with Glenn Miller when he disappeared in the fog and in his plane going to France during the Second World War, and that was all quite sudden also. Okay, over to you, John, and to NBR, WA2ZNT.
Okay, Josephine. Yes, I've seen that documentary over the years, and I think they point to the fact that, if I recall correctly, that if they had had Amelia Earhart had had a radio or more than one radio to talk on more than one channel or more than one band, she might have been able to aim the airplane at that signal, as opposed to what happened was that she couldn't receive the ground station, and therefore was lost. And she found the island, landed on the island, but that, you know, kept her alive for a little while. But maybe the Japanese got involved in that. There's speculation about that too. So there's a something else I wanted to mention. Oh, the FM genius there, his name escapes me at the moment, former resident of Yonkers, I was wondering about if we could compare what the RCA designs were among receivers and what they were once they took over the FM field, so to speak. I gotta grab that, folks, so I'll send it back to Tony, KC2UJLN2NBR.
Hey, John. Well, that radio, the Lockheed, had an AM radio, and the problem was that the antenna was at the bottom of the plane. It was a wire. It was a long wire, and it was broken. So her transmission could only be heard for so many miles, and then she could hear, but she couldn't transmit. That was one of the problems with that plane. The wire broke, the antenna broke. And, you know, well, it's just, I did a lot of research on the women of those years, you know, it's, I'm embarrassed as a man, because women were not, you know, partners with us. I don't want to get into that, but women did not receive 50% of what they have today. So I kind of champion women's rights to do as they please, and whether they're doctors or lawyers or judges or whatever. And the fact that, as a matter of fact, there's a woman right now that has gone, has Mark Zuckerberg has taken in for her advice of watching that special on Channel 2 Sunday. So, you might get to know me. I do champion women's rights. KC2, United Juliet Lima. Thank you.
Contact.
Okay, and that goes to, I believe it goes to John and to NBR. That's wrong. I told you it goes to W2BOB. You copy, Tony?
I'm sorry. WB2BOB. My writing is really, you know, good, you know. So eventually I'll get used to it, but I apologize.
Contact.
Go ahead, contact.
KC2EMG here, a late arrival. Just wanted to contribute the fact that my father, as a rather young guy, probably not even 20 or thereabouts, flew with a woman aviatrix known as Ruth Moore, and it was a biplane with chain drive outboard pusher props. He was invited along because he was kind of a mechanical genius. They flew down the Hudson, and it was, the plan would be, if she ran into engine trouble, she would land in some plumber's field or whatever, he would repair the engine, and they would take off again. So that's how women flyers interact in my family. Of course, when he started dating my mother, she made him promise he'd never set foot in the plane without her, effectively grounding him. KC2EMG here, up to W2BOB.
Okay, very good. Good morning, Bob. KC2EMG, W2BOB with the CBS Retirees Net. And, boy, you sure do have an interesting family background. And that fascinating story. Chain drive, my goodness. I do remember once in St. Louis when we were out there, we had a favorite restaurant, which was just on the perimeter of the runway that you land and take off on. And it was called the Aero Squadron, at our number, I think it was 35. They had a chain of restaurants at airports in Denver and Florida, and I forget where all else. Anyway, that's long gone ever since 9/11. All those extraneous buildings were taken down. They had a beautiful outdoor patio where you could sit and have a drink and watch the planes come in and take off. And they also had a public address system in the bar with an outdoor speaker, and it was tuned to the control tower, so you could hear what aircraft you were watching as they arrived and departed. But there was a propeller, two-engine propeller aircraft, one of those silver metal type aircrafts with the, not a V-tail, but with a, I forget what kind of tail they call it. In other words, it wasn't just single, it was two stabilizers, one on each side, left and right, of the elevator in the back. And when he cranked open those engines, they were rotary engines, gasoline, of course. You could see the flame coming out of the exhaust ports, and the noise was horrendous. And he let loose of the brakes, and off he went, and made a very short takeoff. But I had never been up close to an aircraft like that, and it was really fascinating. Boy, it brought back memories of myself as a child when my dad used to take me out to Roosevelt Field to watch the planes land and take off. And they were, of course, that vintage of aircraft early 40s. So, anyway, interesting story. You know, we don't discuss politics usually anywhere on the amateur radio, but I am appalled at the fact that Eliot Spitzer, the former defrock governor of New York State, is again running for office in New York. Who the heck does he think he is? Here he used the taxpayers' money to frequent a brothel in Washington, D.C., and the services of ladies of the evening. And because of that, and it was publicized, he was forced into resigning as governor of New York State. And here he is back running again. That's typical political corruption as far as I'm concerned. Anyway, I don't want to discuss politics. If you like Spitzer, good for you. But boy, what a terrible thing. It really is awful. Anyway, back to the new top, AC2T, W2BOB. Over to you, Paul.
W2BOB in the group AC2T. Well, I know it's not supposed to be talked about politics, but hey, it does sneak in every once in a while. I totally agree with you, and we'll let it drop at that. Other than that, hopefully everybody's going to have a nice weekend. Oh, by the way, there's a ham fest going on Jersey, so I don't know who's going to attend, but I'd like to go. We'll see how it works out. We'll see. Anyway, let's give it over to Josephine, WA2ZNT. This is AC2T. I got it right that time.
Yep, you got it right, Paul. What is happening in New Jersey? I didn't quite get that.
It's a ham fest way out in Jersey. I think it's about an hour and a half from me. I might take a ride out there. Well, you know, first I got to find out. There's a few people who are going out. They might pick me up. So that depends.
KB2BTV, that's the Sussex Ham Fair.
Okay, Paul, very good. Good morning to you, Bob, KC2EMG. I'm glad you came in with your family story, and that's always very interesting, too. And, Bob, I agree with you there about Spitzer and other people that do try to stay in office or, once they're thrown out, come back, and it shouldn't be allowed. I don't know that that's really politics. It's something that could be... we could give opinions on. And when there just should be new people, not just the same old ones who stay in forever, like permanent careers. I read a book about that they almost deserve it, but they don't. They're only supposed to be there a short time and go back to private life. Okay, let me see. Go to Tony. One more thing about the women's rights. And as far as the good ones are concerned, the ones who do good work for humanity or specialized groups without their animosity against men, I don't care for that part of it. Extreme ones who disparage men and call them male chauvinists, whatever, you know, names. Everyone has their place, and men and women should complement, complement, one another, and not treat them as enemies, because there are a lot of good people and a lot of bad people, but you have to know the difference, right? And with all due respect to what you said, the good ones deserve the praise, like the ones we're talking about, Amelia Earhart and many others, Ruth Law and... so many that we don't know. Clara Barton, Florence Nightingale, many, you know, nurses and good-willed women who are a great help and nurturing. So, but very good with your transmission. Let me see. So I think it goes to you because Bill signed. No, it goes to John. John, if you're through with your phone call. N2NBR, WA2ZNT.
Okay, Joe. Yes, I agree with you. I heard some of your transmission. I was on the phone, so I couldn't hear the rest of the group there. Yes, I agree. The women's liberation movement became a shock to me when it first started back in the, I don't know, 60s, maybe 70s. And it was amazing to me as to how many people kind of sided with them, and or the Betty Friedan and that group of, or that cult of people. And so I was somewhat taken aback by it, to be sure. And so you had to separate the wolves from the sheep, so to speak, as to who you were talking to about it. Otherwise, you'd be starting an argument or a row of some sort with one of your friends or something that you don't want to do that with. So anyhow, I guess it goes back to Tony. I'm not sure. If not, Bob, pick it up. KC2UJL. This is N2NBR.
I think Bob has signed off, if I'm correct. Bob, are you there?
Tony, what's your problem?
I think I just said
Bob was still there, but...
Well, my grandmother came to this country in 1865. My grandfather was a saddle maker. He made bridles and saddles for the United States Cavalry and came to this country to San Francisco and also worked on the railroad, laying down railroad tracks. My great-great-grandfather. And my grandfather was a bootmaker. Back in those days, it was tough. You had to get a 100-pound sack of flour, and you had to make do with that. Woman had to, in those days, to be able to bake, make a meal, meat. Some buffalo they had back in those days, and it was tough. I got pictures and... Matter of fact, I didn't get a letter from Ronald Reagan when he was president. The fact that my grandfather did help the United States Army at that time. But what could I say? This country is very dear to me. I was going to make mention about Howard Hughes. I also admire him in spite of the fact that he might have had some problems, but that's all. I just wanted to bring that up. KC2UJL, Brooklyn. I'm going to pass it over to N2NBR.
He already transmitted, Tony. You're supposed to pass it over to KC2EMG. That's the other Bob. We have two Bobs here at this point. Me and the other Bob. The other Bob gets it next. KC2EMG. Go ahead, Bob.
Okay, two Bobs, no waiting. KC2EMG here. Two things. First of all, your mention of Roosevelt Field really resonated with me because that was a favorite destination in my younger years when we would go out for a drive, which we did very often on Saturday. My grandmother lived with us and her son... My uncle would come over from Manhattan with his car, take us all out for a drive. And when queried as to where I wanted to go, I would invariably say Roosevelt Field, which is, you will recall at that time, had a chain link fence, and they had logs that were the stop for the wheels of your car, so you would roll up to the fence. Two things. Your description of that plane sounds a little bit like the old Lockheed Electra, except for the fact of the rotary engine. I think it had a radial, but it did have a twin tail, and whether or not it was, later, of course, it came in a tricycle, but landing gear. But so that was one thing. And the other thing I wanted to mention was that when I worked for Western Electric, I was very aware of the fact that early research by one of the guys I worked with showed that Western had made the antenna that Amelia Earhart used on board her plane. Now, you're right, it was a long wire antenna, but it was on a reel because you didn't trail it all the time. It was a lead weight sinker on the back of it. And one time when she was landing in the airport in Jersey, can't think of the name, She forgot to retract it, and it she wound up shorting out some high tension wires, and she was very, very hokey about it, no matter how many times she was told it had to be fully extended. So, but that I do know, it was a reel with a long wire antenna and a lead sinker weight. On the end of it, okay, so much for nostalgia and history. Back to the top, and W2BOB, this is KC2EMG, and this will be my 70, well, I'll stay in for another round, but I do have things. Okay, pick it up, Bob.
All right, thank you. KC2EMG, W2BOB with the CBS Retirees Net. Yes, thank you for the Lockheed Electra identification. It probably was that same model of aircraft, but it was not an airliner as such, because there were very few windows along the side going to the back. It might have been more of a cargo-type plane anyway, but I was fascinated by the fact that, of course, the pilot had his head out the window, which made it even more fascinating with the roar of those engines. And no air conditioning, I presume, and it was a hot summer's night that we witnessed that. At any rate, it was fascinating. And yes, Lockheed did make that silver-type aircraft, that's for sure. I guess it was, I don't know if it was aluminum at that stage or not. It might have been some other material that they used. Lightweight but strong. Okay. As far as the reel in antenna is concerned, I do remember reading about that, and that you did have to be very careful, especially on landings and in populated areas, especially to reel that back in, which made the radio useless. Once it's reeled up, there's no antenna. So, okay. And amazing also as far as aeronautical design is concerned, and flying around the world with a propeller plane at that particular period of time was really a fascinating thing to do. So, okay, I try to think there was another subject I was going to bring up, but it's getting late and my coffee cup is empty, so I think we'll make this a 73 round. And, the older I get, the more I think that every politician is crooked. They might be the honest person when they're elected, and after they're in office for a while, everybody seems to change for the worse. So, part of the job. And they get rewarded for that, you know, lifelong pensions, medical care, the whole thing. They don't have to pay Social Security. They don't draw Social Security. They're not affected by Medicare and all that stuff, so free medical treatment and all that. Well. Okay, AC2T for 73, Paul, W2BOB.
W2BOB in the group, AC2T. Well, I totally agree with you, Bob. I know these politicians are something else. I don't know why we put them in. I don't know. Maybe it's us that's doing it to us ourselves. But I wish people would really look into it and think. You know, think for themselves. And don't follow the flock. Because wind up a bunch of sheep. And you get a bunch of sheep hurt. And that's perfect timing because my cup is empty too. So I'm going to make myself coffee as soon as I drop it here. And I wish everybody the best 73. Have a very pleasant weekend. And hopefully we'll see you Monday. WA2ZNT and the group HC2T. You got it, Josephine. 73.
Okay, Paul. AC2T and the group WA2ZNT. Very fine. I agree with that. And, power, absolute power, corrupts. And certainly, they should just get out and stay out. But the voters have to be intelligent, and they have a lot to say, and, but many of them don't study. They just, the polls say he's ahead, he's this, he's that, so he should get in, or whatever. They have to do their homework and look up their records on the computer. You can do that and find out how they vote, how they act, and so forth. That should affect decisions. So much for that. And I don't like that the media promotes the wrong sites also, and people have to be aware of that, and they're not. So it's not just a question of which party. It's right and wrong that you have to decide issues on and people. That's the way I think it should be done. Otherwise, we're going to lose everything good. 73 all enjoyed the net very much. Thank you for directing it, Bob. And glad that Bob EMG, you stayed till the end here. So we welcome every time you transmit. You always have something good to say, interesting to say. And you too, Tony, and, well, everybody. John too also. He's our scientist, our engineer, so many things. Very capable man. That's why I enjoy the net. Everybody has their special contributions and attributes. Have a good weekend, everybody, and we'll get together Monday. All right? WA2ZNT 73 all. Now, so it goes to KC2UJL, and then you give it to KC2EMG, if you would, Tony. And this is our 73 round, but glad that you all checked in.
First to John, then to Tony. John.
Okay. Go ahead, John.
Okay, Joe. Yes, I just got my my ICR7000 receiver back from Burkhardt Radio. Cost me a fortune to get it fixed, but I guess it was worth it. Almost $400 to get the display working again. The readouts were okay. Individual numerical figures or whatever you call them, they were okay. It was the secretary behind it that was the problem, and I guess they spent a couple of hours working on it, and they gave me the old parts back and stuff like that, but it was almost $400 with a lot of money for it to fix an old radio, but it was, as I say, it was worth it. And Bob Squared, I was messing around with my old Ampex 601 audio tape recorder not too long ago, and I noticed a notice that was on the inside of the case, and the notice said that Western Electric was one of the patent holders on the machinery in there, which I was totally unaware of until I had read that little plaque in their sticker, whatever you call it, and I was amazed at I guess 3M was in there, and I can't remember exactly who all was, but there was a lot of contributors to that machine. After I got that and lived with it for a while, I discovered that it had one or two defects, but other than that, in fact, I would have preferred to use in the situation I was in at the time, I would have preferred a 351. Ampex 10-inch machine, monophonic full track, and I never got my wish, but because they're a lot more expensive. And in those days, let me let this drop. In those days, $500 or $600 was a lot of money in the '60s, and so that's all the producer could afford. And but the I think the I can't remember what the 351 cost, but it was not cheap as well. It was a lot more expensive than $600. But it was very interesting. I wondered if the same patent holders were in existence for the 351. Sometime maybe you could let me know if you knew anything about that. And your employee with them. So, over to you, Rob. No, not Rob. Rob signed. Tony, KC2UJL. This is N2NBR. And then and Tony, send it back to Bob. I'm sorry, no, send it back to Bob Squared. Okay? Rob, this is N2NBR. And I'll be saying 7-3 at this time. I'll be listening out, okay? Back to you. Over to you, Tony.
Terry, thank you so much. You know, it's an amazing thing that the political in the political arena, politicians don't pay one penny into Social Security, and when they retire, they collect 100%. And if they don't collect it, they're allowed to, I guess they want to give it to their grandchildren or whatever they want to do with it. But like you or me or anybody else that goes to work, and me as a police officer, you know, paying a good share of Social Security and now collecting, they don't pay nothing. President, from the president all the way down to the mayor. But when they retire, they get 100%. And I find it appalling for the average person that has to go to work and put 8 hours and 16 hours a day in. And maybe if you ever go down in Social Security when you have to get, when you reach 65, it's a joke. But this is my opinion. And I want to say 73. And I enjoy the net. And I guess I want to give it to Bob there. KB2QBQ, Rob. I think he's after me, I'm not sure. I tell you, I'm not good at, you know, the first time I've been on the round table here. So, the Lockheed, by the way, that was specifically designed, and that antenna was not a hanging antenna. That antenna was designed for Amelia Earhart from her husband, who bought that plane for her. And it was made by Lockheed. Other than that, 73s, and I'll be listening.
KC2 EMG. Well, I'm not sure that Lockheed made the antenna, because if you look it up, you'll find it has a KS number, and a KS specification within Western Electric was something purchased from outside and blueprinted by us. So much for that. That the first early Lockheed Electra became, I think, the PV-2 in the military, and this was not to be confused with the later three-tail Lockheed, which was a large passenger. This was a smaller two-tail wheel, what I recall about Roosevelt Field is that, as I said, my father was forbidden to fly without my mother being along. And in one of our journeys to Roosevelt Field, lo and behold, a Lucky Electra taxied up to the fence, and the guy got out, and my father recognized him. They spoke. They'd been in business together years before in the automobile business. And he said, "With the boy," now we were young at the time, my brother and I, maybe, I don't know, 11 for me, 12. He said, "Would the boys like to go up for a ride?" He was a commercial pilot. He had his uniform on. And let me drop. As nearly as I can recall, there was a lettering along the side of the plane. And I think it might have said the Flying Falkenbergs, Jinx Falkenberg of Tex and Jinx fame. Her family did own a private plane, so I think this might have been it. But the point I'm making is, because of the prohibition against flying, not prohibition, my mother wouldn't go up, but when he asked my dad whether we would like to go up for a spin, and oh, I was in seventh heaven, the answer was no, I don't want you to go up. But anyway, I did get to sit in the cockpit and look at the controls. That was the nearest I got. So much for your Roosevelt Field and Lockheed Electra, et cetera, et cetera. been fun chiming in and coming in late this morning. I've enjoyed it. Nice to hear all the new voices in there. And we'll see what we can do about Monday. This is KC2EMG listening out and turning the control over to W2BOB.
Okay, thank you, Bob. KC2EMG, W2BOB, and the CBS retirees. That, boy, you've got an amazing memory, and that must have been a thrill to sit behind the controls of the Lockheed at that age. Oh, wow. No, I never got that close. I was already grown up when I took my first flight, so which was in a seaplane off Saratoga Lake in Saratoga, New York, and that was exciting. I didn't think we were ever going to get off the water, but we did, and the landing was quite nice. That was very smooth, but at any rate, that was my first aircraft experience. And then after that, my second experience was in an Air Force helicopter out of West Hampton Air Force Base, a rescue helicopter, with the back open in the cargo area. And we flew over the radio station and the Twin Towers. And a couple of people who were on duty in the station heard the chopper at a very low level, and they came out and waved at us because they knew we had gone to West Hampton for a press luncheon that day. So, and I had the choice of either the helicopter or going up in the fighter, the jet fighter. And when they took off and went straight up, I was glad I didn't do that. After having downed a wonderful serving of roast beef dinner at the officers' club at West Hampton Beach, I figured that would have just all come back up again with in no time flat in one of those jets. But the helicopter ride was neat. Okay. Alrighty, this has been the CBS Retirees Net. We meet Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 9 a.m., and we thank everybody for joining us today. And we'll do it again Monday at 9 a.m. Till then, have a very nice weekend and a good day today, and enjoy whatever cool weather we have. It looks like Monday is going to be back in the 90s. Thunderstorms again, according to the forecast, almost every day in the afternoon. They're predicting thunderstorms for this area. So W2BOB closing the net at this point, 73 from Long Island, New York, and returning the frequency to normal use.
K2EIR, N1LU, mobile. Hi, boy. How are ya?
Sorry about that. Hit the wrong button. I'm trying to get on high power. Stand by. All right, that's high power. I'm in Connecticut, so I might be a little noisy. How's it going, Howie?
Okay. Your signal is very good. You probably would have been okay for a while longer without moving to high power. I just went to the fitness center, and I'm now heading up my street, and maybe have 500 feet to go, and then it's into the apartment to get my shower. And it was an abbreviated workout today, so I could get to doing a few other things. And so far, that's my day.
Okay, very good. Yeah, I was good because I was on top of a hill. When I go down, it gets noisy. I'm glad you came on. I was just thinking about you today. Did you ever get that Motorola online?
Yeah, it's got 6 channels and it works well. The only problem is that I can't afford right now to have my wife's car wired, and that's what I mostly got it for. When I have to take her car to just be able to plug it in. And what I've done so far, because I had a couple of times I had to go deliver her or pick her up from the Bronx, and the power level is, let me take one issue at a time. So when I went to the Bronx, basically, I put it, there's an armrest between the two front seats, and I put it on the armrest and wedged it in, actually a little bit vertically, and I ran the power cord to a jump start battery. I have a couple of those 18 amp, 20 amp gel cells, and I ran it off that. But it's 45 or 50 watts output, and the problem is without software, it's not adjustable, and that thing will heat up if you do a rag chute, and you know how I like to talk.
Yeah, okay. Well, I can understand that. Yeah, I'm dying to hear how it sounds.
I'm just pulling into my parking spot now. If you want to go to 06, you know, the Wecker frequency, I'll set it up, and I can speak to you on it within 5 minutes. What do you think?
Yeah, I got about 5 minutes before I get home. Okay, I'll meet John Wecker, N1LU.
For me there, K2EIR.
KB2 BBY, 955.
W2TTT. Gordon, you out there by any chance? KB3PQB calling. No contact. KB3PQB, QSY.